And let's look this morning in the Gospel of Luke. How many of you have a favorite area of Scripture or a favorite verse in Scripture? Can I see your hands? Isn't that good? Yeah. Well, how many of you have that area of Scripture that you don't like? Now, I understand. Actually, I've had you turn to the area of Scripture in the Bible that I don't like. So I just kind of need to get this off my chest from the very beginning here. So you're in Luke chapter 15. Now this will be a familiar area of Scripture. Luke chapter 15, starting in verse 11. How many of you ever heard the story of the prodigal son? Okay. Actually, I was raised in a lost home, and I didn't get saved till I was a 24-year-old policeman, Kansas City, Missouri. But raised in a lost home, we never went to church. And actually, although this is the story of the prodigal son, I never really was a prodigal son. But here's the part of this story I don't like. Now, if you're not familiar with it, let's just kind of take a look at it here in verse 11. Jesus is speaking, and he said, "A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me.' And he divided unto them," both of them, he had two sons, "his living." Now, how many of you know how the story goes? I don't have to read the whole thing. So here's the younger son, and he was the prodigal son. Now, what did he do with his inheritance? He just squandered it. Now, his dad raised that boy, and he knew what that boy was like. Now, here's the part I didn't like about the story. If you understand the whole the meaning of the story, the boy who was the prodigal son was a type of the Gentile. The boy who stayed home was a type of the Jew. Now, the boy who stayed home, he didn't really honor his father. He was grunchy and so forth. But the part I didn't like about the story was that the dad was a type of God. Now, here's what bothered me about that story. I thought to myself, now, if I was raising a rebellious son, a prodigal son, who wouldn't listen, wouldn't take advice, and came to me, by the way, when do you actually get an inheritance? It's when somebody dies. So this prodigal son actually came to his dad, and the Bible says, "Divide unto me the inheritance that befalleth me." What he was really saying to his dad, in the Hebrew vernacular back there, was, "Oh man, I wish you were dead." See, because really, the only way you're going to get an inheritance is if somebody dies. What a terrible thing to say. Now, the thing that bothered me, why in the world would that dad give away an early inheritance to this rebellious son? He knew what his son was going to do, was just go out and squander it. How many of you with me here on this? And I never liked that story because I thought, because really, whenever, as a young preacher, growing up, raising children, you know, I remember getting my children together one time, and I said, "Now, you know, I know Christianity is a choice, and you have to choose whether you're going to follow Jesus Christ or not, even though you're born in a pastor's family. But I'm just saying to you, if you choose to turn your back on God and go away," I said to them, "now don't expect an inheritance." See, now, it was kind of an idle threat coming from a preacher, because what's a preacher have? Nothing. Yeah, but they didn't know that. But all I'm saying to you is, so it bothered me why this dad would give away an early inheritance. I didn't like that. I'm thinking, now, so he's a type of God. And then one day, and here's where I'm going with this morning. One day, God showed me very clearly that at conception, God gives every human being an early inheritance. Actually, at conception, I personally believe, God gives you seven specific things. It's actually how you're wired on the inside. Now, this week, we're going to be looking at this wiring. How many of you know of a weird person You ever met one of those kind? It's kind of strange, seems like they're out of step, see? Well, here's what I began to realize. That your wiring on the inside that you received at conception, God gave you an early inheritance just because he loved you. Your wiring is different than somebody else's wiring. That's why you and I, wired the way we are, we look at somebody else and we say to them, or at least to your spouse, aren't they weird? Isn't that a weird, see? Now, the truth of the matter is, we're looking at our wiring compared to their wiring. Now, if they were looking at us, they would say, kind of weird. That person's kind of, see what I'm saying? So, here's what we want to do. We want to see this week, the Sunday here through Wednesday, how God has wired us. Now, it really is true. If you miss one of the nights, you're going to miss kind of a major piece. This morning, in Sunday school, I want to give you an overview. The seven specific things that God gives you, I believe, at conception. I used to think, well, maybe you get these things when you get saved. But the truth of the matter is, the Bible's real clear that one day everyone, lost and saved, will stand before God, and none of us will be able to give an excuse to God, see? In other words, nobody will say, well, I would have served you if you would have just, you know, if you'd have just given me an inheritance, if you'd have just wired me to do that. Actually, the truth of the matter is the Bible says that God has written his laws on our heart. That's why your little old kid can't even talk yet. See, God has written his laws on our heart. They'll start, kind of toddling, moving toward this little whatnot shelf with all your little special things on it. And as they stand right there in front of it, they'll stop. And here's what they'll do. They'll look over here. You've seen it, haven't you? They look over here. You've never told them not to do that. There's something inside them, see? And then they start giving it one of these things. Now, all I'm saying to you is, God has written his laws in our hearts. There is a God consciousness that is inside every person. And God does that for a kind reason. It's his way of drawing us to him. The giver of life and the giver of these seven specific things. Are you with me here? So the reason I didn't like the prodigal son story was just simply, I thought if I was a dad, I wouldn't give away an early inheritance to a rebellious kid. But in God's kindness and his love, he's actually given to every person at conception an early inheritance. And the truth of the matter is, your early inheritance has, and we're going to look at these specific things. I'm going to give you kind of an overview, and then the rest of the week we're going to be kind of covering more in detail so you can really discover how you're wired. But these specific things, if you think about it, the positive things of how you're wired, people will hire you for that. They will hire you and give you a job making a lot of money just because of the way you're wired on the inside, your abilities and your skills and stuff, see, which all came from God. But because there are some weaknesses to these things, many times the person winds up getting fired because of the weakness if you don't understand how you're wired. Does this make sense to you? And the same way with marriage. See, you're attracted to somebody because of the positive things, you know? Not just the looks, but how they're wired on the inside, their personality. And we're going to look at some of these. And then you get married, and then guess what happens? Then you begin to discover some of the weaknesses. Are you with me? And that's how sometimes people get divorces. So God's wiring is a very important thing. It's not so much that people around us are weird, although they may seem like it. It's more that they're wired differently than we are. Okay, so here's where I want to go this morning. I call this wiring, seven specific things, I call it God's body stamp. Now, if you're taking notes, it's going to be an acrostic. God gives you a specific body. How many of you know that? At conception, God chooses male and female. See? only two options. All these other things are the weird things, are man-made things here. But so he gives you a body, and then he gives you a stamp, S-T-A-M-P. It's an acrostic, and we're going to be kind of looking at that. I'm going to give you an overview, and then you'll see, starting tonight specifically, this wiring, the thing that makes you and I unusual or different and very employable. People want to marry us, etc. So here's the first thing. When God gives you a body, isn't it funny? 21st century genius people, and we can't figure out what body we have. We can't figure out what bathroom to go to. Isn't it silly? We have come a long way the wrong way. You know what I'm saying? So when God gives you this physical body, then right away, you think about it, part of the thing he gives you with the body is male or female. Now, once you discover you're growing up as a little bitty kid, infant, being held by your mother, pretty soon you discover male and female. We have 4 children, 13 grandchildren. And all the little boys, all the grandchildren we have, they all do the same type of thing. You know, they'll find a stick or a this or that, and they always do the sword fights. You know what I'm saying? That's just kind of built within a boy. God has placed within a male body the desire to do 3 things. To be a protector and a provider. They like working, doing things. And also a priest. God's goal is for the man to be the spiritual leader. Now, if you wake up and you're in a female body, then God gives you specific things. Like our little grandchildren, granddaughters, when they're real little, they over there, they're playing babies and tea and changing diapers on their little babies, you know, little dolls and stuff. And the boys are fighting and with swords and all kinds of stuff. I'm just saying that's how God has wired you. How many of you know what I'm talking about? It just, you come that way, see? Now, not only does he give you a specific a body, and you male or female, but who determines your race? Yeah, God did. See? There's way much to do about race today, by the way. Something's really wrong about that. Actually, there's only one race. It's the human race. It started way back there with Adam and Eve. By the way, do you know today you can spend hundreds and hundreds of dollars to find out about your genealogy? You know where you came from, your genealogy? Well, look, give me $5 and I can give you the shortcut. All the way back to who? Adam and Eve. See, it's just one race. It's called the human race. But the Tower of Babel and so forth and the distinction of the races. Now, I'm just saying to you, God chose that. Not only did he choose your race, just you think about it, at conception, but he also chose your nationality, where you're going to live on the planet. How many of you were born in America? How many of you were not born in America? See, it doesn't really matter, but what matters is that God made a choice about all that. And then the economic status. I was born in a family that were migrant workers. We're very, very poor. We followed the crops all across the United States. Whatever crops was coming in and getting ripe, we would follow and work and stuff like that. Some people are born into a wealthy family. See, but who decides that? Here's another thing. Birth order. See, who decides about birth order? How many of you here are firstborn? How many of you are secondborn? How about thirdborn? Fourthborn? Fifth born. See, now you can keep going. My dad was one of 12 children. See? Isn't that funny? See, back then that was normal. How many of you had, back then in your family tree, you had a lot of kids in the family. Can you remember that? Okay. See, that was normal. Today, we're abnormal, to be real frank with you. But, see, who determines all that? That's what I'm trying to say to you, see? And at conception, God's pushes the boat away from shore, and it's a great inheritance that he stacked inside us, birth order, and then physical features. See, now where do you get those? and aging and death. You know, you go to the doctors, they'll always do this. They'll ask you to fill out a little form about any kind of medical history that your parents and your family tree has. Why? Because many times that aging and the physical features and the health is kind of passed down from one generation to the next. Does this make sense? Now, that's just your body. Now let's look at the acrostic stamp, S. If you're taking notes, here's the S. Now the S stands for spiritual gifts. Now I'm not going to really go into this morning's Sunday school. I want to give you an overview, and then we're going to peel back the thing and really take a good close look at that in these days coming up. A spiritual gift. It's Romans chapter 12, actually. If you want to go there with me just for a second. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Here's what the Bible says. Verse 3. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Verse 4, for as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Now, by the way, how many of you know that's really how the body of Christ works? We are members one of another. And then verse 6, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given unto us. And then he starts listing them. Right there, you'll see, and we're going to cover this. It is so important for you to discover your spiritual gift. It's a specific giftedness that God gives you. I like to look at it like this. It's like a set of glasses. How many of you wear glasses? Well, see, a set of glasses gives you a clear vision. Your spiritual gift, you look at all of life through your specific gift. Spiritual gift. And there's seven of them. I always enjoy being around your preacher. He's got one of these seven spiritual gifts. He uses it very well. Just excellent. He's one of my favorite preachers, to be real frank with you. Blended together with a personality, it just makes him very unique. And fun to be around. How many of you know he's fun to be around? If you want to laugh, then you come to this church. So I'm just saying to you, these spiritual gifts. Now, you can't be wired necessarily like your preacher, but you can be wired like you are. Now, you know what I have seen over and over again? Like here recently, they flew us again to do counseling with the pastors and missionaries. And it was an international thing, try to keep missionaries on the field. They were having husband and wife conflicts. By the way, anybody can have marriage conflicts. How many of you understand that? So you don't have to be just a non-Christian. Christians can have problems. People in the clergy can have problems, so to say. So, and as a result of looking at the things that we're looking at here this week with that couple, man, it was just the exact thing that the Lord needed to fix their marriage, and they're doing great. Now, here's what I want to say to you. If you don't understand your spouse's spiritual gift, you're going to have conflict with them. It's how they're wired. It's like a set of glasses. They see all of life from that particular perspective. Now, let me just kind of give you a little glimpse here. One of those spiritual gifts is a very hard, strong, things are right and wrong, black and white, no gray. If you don't like what the Bible says, choke on it. Are you hearing me what I'm saying here? Now, you see some of those kind of people, you say, that seems like a weird person. Well, maybe not. See, they're wired in such a way to try to keep the body of Christ pure, so that sin and ungodliness doesn't come in and start doing damage. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Now, that's just one of the spiritual gifts. over and over again. As a matter of fact, this husband and wife, the husband had that particular spiritual gift. And it was just causing a lot of problems in the marriage. Once they understood that, then and decided they wanted to really yield to the Lord on some things, man, that marriage came together in such a real nice way. The scripture says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. You know what that means? It means if we don't understand the people around us, then it's going to create more and more conflict. And here's another spiritual gift. They tend to be very tender, sensitive. They don't like to offend people. They love little children and the elderly. They tend to be huggers. They cry easily. Are you getting a little glimpse here? They don't like people who are abrasive and controlling. I'm just saying to you here, see, once you discover your spiritual gift, you can understand your spouse's spiritual gift, and you'll understand why you're having conflict and difficulty in your marriage. Or even with some of your children. Make sense? Now, we call that spiritual gift. That's one of the things we're going to be looking at. That's the S. Now, here's the T. The T is talents. How many of you know that God gives you talents? Like, let me give you, for instance, two of our daughters, one of them, we had her do piano lessons, and she worked real hard on it, and it was theory, and she had practiced, and she really got good. And so then the second daughter, old enough to start taking piano lessons, we sent her to the same teacher. It was a teacher in our Christian school, and bless her heart, after three lessons, she's sitting down at the piano, and she's playing a whole song. And I'm thinking, what in the world? See? Now look. How many of you know that sometimes people are just given talents at birth? She had the ability to play by ear. First daughter had to practice like crazy. The second one, if she could hear it, she could sit down and play it. How many of you know somebody like that? They play by ear. They hear it. They can see. Isn't that great? Don't you wish you had something like that? I wished I had something like this. Now, who's the pianist? Is the pianist in here? Oh, okay, back there. Now, do you play by ear? Yeah, I thought so. Now, you can almost tell how when a person can play by ear. They can play the piano and sing along, see? Or they can play the piano and then kind of look around and see what's happening. And it's a gift. It's a special talent that God gives you. We have a little grandson. I accused him of tracing. He showed me a picture that he had drawn. And I said, oh. I said, now did you just do that by yourself or did you trace it? He said, what do you mean, Grandpa, trace? And I'm thinking, no, nobody can draw something like this. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I said, now did you look at a book? When you were drawing that? Yes, sir. Oh, show me the book. So here it was. Showed me the picture, and I took the one he drew, and I put it over it. No, this was way bigger. See? He just is an incredible, well, we have about three of those, don't we? Incredible artist. I just can't hardly believe it. Now, where did that come from? See, it's special talents that God gives you. Now, you may be sitting here mad because you didn't get a talent. You're just going to have to get over it. And join the rest of us, see, who didn't get this. But you have talents, special talents. So S-T-A. And A is what I call avenues of love. It's a special wiring. How many of you ever heard of the five love languages? Have you ever heard of that? Okay, this is kind of what I'm talking about. Again, we have 13 grandchildren. And I remember one of our first little grandchildren, a little granddaughter, so cute. You know, she's just so cute. And I'd always want to go up and give her a hug, and she'd go, you know, I mean, through everybody. Remember? And, you know, she'd say, yo, this is cute little dress. And I'd want to hug her, and she'd kind of give me one of these, don't, you know, pull away things. Well, now, that was a love language. Some youngsters, they're huggers, and they want to show you how they love you by hugging. Some youngsters, they have the love language of gift giving. And you go to the store, they want you to get them some little something. It doesn't have to be big, but it's their love language. Usually you love somebody else like you want to be loved. And so our grandchildren say, Mimi, did you get me anything at the store? And it could be just a little small thing. To them, it's like saying, I remembered you, and I love you. Just a little pencil or a little anything, see? Are you hearing what I'm saying? Now, it's the way you learn to love each other. Now, many times, like this one counseling thing of marriage, couple came. He sat way over on this end of the couch. She sat way over on this end of the couch. It was like the great Gulf fix here in the marriage thing. And it's really interesting because we spent probably 3 sessions with them. And every time they showed up, they got closer and closer. The last one, she was almost sitting on his lap because they just began to discover the differences. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, see? And like, for instance, his love language was touch. This one little granddaughter, her love language was not touch, you know? Have you ever shaken hands with someone and they shake hands with you and they kind of hug you or, you know, kind of rub your shoulders? Well, that's to them. That's how God has wired them. And so they convey to you, I love you, by touch. So this little granddaughter did not have that love language of touch. All I'm saying to you is, it's how you like to love someone else. It's the way you like for them to love you. So I'm not getting into all these. I'm just whetting your appetite here. So, one of our little grandchildren, they're huggers. They just always hug you. Remember when we see them? We got one daughter has 3 little boys, stair step. And one of them has the love language of touch. And as soon as we show up, he comes and he grabs and hangs on. He just wants to hang on. The others, you know, maybe not. And you just have to understand how they're wired. So in this marriage counseling, this fella discovered his love language was touch. And his wife, she said, well, I came from a family, we weren't huggers. We didn't do stuff, like we didn't touch, see? But bless his heart, it was, and so when she discovered his love language, then she had sat by him, put her arm around him, and just her arm around with him, he'd go, oh, it was, I'm accepted, I'm loved. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And then she even would run her hand up and start kind of rubbing the back of his head, stuff like that. And it really got very distracting because he wasn't paying attention when she was doing stuff like that. You understand? So I said, why don't I have you scoot over just a little bit so we don't put him in a coma. But all of a sudden, she was loving him the way he wanted to be loved. Now, I hope you're picking up on this because it's what causes marriage conflicts. Now, okay, so that's the M is the next one. S-T-A-M. M is mentality. Where did you get your IQ? Now, it's not from learning a bunch of stuff. You can go to school the rest of your life and you're not going to move your IQ a point or two. Can I just be real frank with you? It is what it is. You inherited that. One of our daughters has dyslexia. How many of you know what that means? It's a learning problem. And reading is hard. Over and over again, as we counsel young people, we discover that many times they have a problem with dyslexia and they're kind of out of step with this IQ thing. But where do you get your IQ, see? That's the whole thing. And you can be mad about it. I had a professor in college who had a photographic memory. My word. How many would love to have had a photographic memory? He just remembers. Actually, he went on a tour of the Holy Land, and he was our tour guide. He would step off the bus, and he would just start looking across the landscape, tell you how many feet this mountain was in the air, what happened at this particular event, what Jesus did here, the healings and the miracles. And I'm thinking, oh my word, wouldn't you love to have something like that? But now, your IQ is a gift from God. It might not be the same as the person around you. Now, the goal is to accept your wiring. Are you with me here? And here's the last one. What I used to think was the last one, your personality. Now, we're going to look at this tonight, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time on here. But your personality, it's how you're wired in the personality. Have you ever met people that are just, or little kids living at your house? They're very friendly, they're outgoing, they never meet a stranger. They don't know the stranger rule, you know. They just walk right up to a stranger and start talking. We were in a store the other day, and this little girl was being pushed in the cart toward us. And as she got closer, she said, "Hi!" And I'm looking around, I'm thinking, I don't know these people. You know, my mother taught me the stranger rule. Did she teach you that? And so I'm looking around. There was nobody else but me and my wife there. Then we got closer, she said, "Hi!" And I'm thinking, okay, I said, "Hi, how are you?" You know, now that's the kind of how they're wired, a certain personality. Now, don't miss it tonight, because you're going to see why you have conflict with your spouse. Now, catch this. Tonight, here's what you'll discover. You'll discover why you have conflict with your spouse, why that one little child in your family you have confrontation with all the time. You'll discover why you park your car in a certain spot in the parking lot. Oh yeah. You'll discover why maybe you got fired from that one job that you had. I'm just telling you, now that's tonight. So now if you would count those up, so far I've given you six things. Body stamp. Body S-T-A-M-P. And I kept thinking, okay, that's six things. I must be missing something. And one day the Lord showed me it was the seventh thing. Turn with me in Scripture here for a second. And by the way, I have a sheet here full of Scripture. If you would like a sheet on this, I'll make it available for you tonight, okay? So tonight, I'll just have extra copies here, front and back. It'll give you the whole thing. In a nutshell, it'll give you an overview. But look with me here for just a second, if you would. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Here's what the Apostle Paul's conclusion was, and all of a sudden I realized, okay, this is the seventh thing. God gives you six specific things, and then he takes this seventh thing, and he stirs it all together in a unique, special set of wiring that gives you an early inheritance in life. And here's what it says, if you're looking there in verse 10, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10. Here's what Paul says. "But by the grace of God, I am what I am." See, what God does, grace is a wonderful giftedness. Then God takes grace and he stirs it all together and makes you and I as unique as a fingerprint. You know, when I was a policeman, if I went in on a burglary and I could find somebody's fingerprints that shouldn't be there, you could arrest them. This is physical evidence, see, that they were stealing something from someplace they shouldn't have been. Well, your wiring is as unique as a fingerprint. The reason we have marriage problems, the reason we have problems with children, the reason why we have problems on the job is because we don't understand the wiring that God has given to us. Does that make sense to you? If you can understand that, then you can say about your husband, okay, well, so he's not really doing that just to me. He does that to everybody. It kind of takes the edge off. Are you hearing me? Okay. God's body stamp. We're going to be looking at specific things here throughout the week. And tonight we're going to be looking at the personality issues. All right? Father in heaven, thank you this morning for your kindness to us. Thank you for your generosity. In your great love, you have given us an early inheritance. And it's your kindness, and it's a wonderful gift to help us be attracted to a spouse, to have a job, and be effective in the body of Christ. Now bless these truths to us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.